My name is Mike Morgan.
Thank you for taking time to study God's Word with us. The title of our message this morning is The Faithfulness of Joseph. Our text, Genesis 39. As we continue our study through the Old Testament, let's keep in mind that these events are the unfolding of God's purpose and plan to redeem man. Joseph becomes a channel or instrument through which the promise develops. By this time, Joseph is sold to Potiphar, the commanding officer of the royal bodyguard. These men carry out executions for Pharaoh. God blessed Potiphar's household because of Joseph. Potiphar did not concern himself with anything going on in the house. All he did was eat his meals and leave the rest to Joseph. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Genesis 39 verse 6. This simple statement explains why Potiphar's wife was attracted to the young Hebrew slave. The text says she cast longing eyes on Joseph. Her heart was fully set to do evil. Job said, I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman? Job 31 verse 1. Job would not look upon anything that would excite impure desires. We need to make a covenant with our eyes, lest the eyes infect the heart. She tries to entice him daily to lie with her. Though he refused her advances, she kept seeking an opportunity to have her way. At last, a day comes when Joseph was the only one in the house with her. She grabbed his coat and tried to forcibly have her way. Joseph ran away, leaving the garment she had grabbed. It is as if Joseph was obeying Paul's later instruction to flee sexual immorality. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18. Look at Proverbs chapter 4, verses 14 through 19. Proverbs 4, 14 through 19. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. Was Joseph a coward for running? Should he have stayed and tried to reason with her? Joseph was no coward. He was a righteous man. He would not stay in the presence of temptation, but fled as one escaping for his life. He did the right thing. Unfortunately, people who do what is right are not always treated right. Though Joseph had honored his master and God, Potiphar's wife lied about him. She claimed he fled when she cried out, and the proof was the coat he had left with her. Genesis 39 verse 15. She did not say that he left his coat in her hand, as that might have shown the true nature of the case. Have you ever heard the statement, where there is smoke, there is fire? That's not always the case. Think about the rumors that must have gone out about Joseph. He did what? And yet the whole thing was false. Although he came out honorable in the end, he suffered as a result of the slander. From this, we need to learn the lesson about spreading rumors. We should never pass on information that has not been verified six ways. In fact, unless there is some good to be accomplished, it is better for us not even to pass on that which is factual. When Potiphar comes home, she repeats the lie. The Hebrew servant whom you brought to us came into me to mock me. Her skillfully worded false report implicated her husband as an accessory, thus putting pressure on him to deal with Joseph. Joseph is cast into prison, which was actually a very mild punishment for the crime supposedly committed. Psalm 105, verses 17 and 18 tells us something about Joseph in prison. Look at Psalm 105, verses 17 and 18. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in iron. Joseph was placed in chains when he was put in prison. Let me suggest three lessons we can learn from Joseph in Genesis 39. First, circumstances can change in a moment. Consider all the things which could have affected Joseph in this situation. He could have given up. What's the use in trying to serve God? Here I am, a slave. Joseph could have become bitter. I'm totally innocent, and look at what's happening. He could have given in to temptation, believing it was a means for promotion. How did Joseph respond to his sudden change of fortune? His faith in God remained steadfast and unwavering. One of the real problems we face is learning how to handle the ups and downs of life. When things are going well, we forget about God. On the other side, difficulties can cause us to become bitter and forsake God. We need to follow Joseph's example of faithful obedience to God, come what may. Lesson number two. Joseph teaches us how to handle temptation. The approach of Potiphar's wife follows the normal course of temptation. First, she looked at him. Jesus said, "But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Matthew 5, verse 28. Next, she began to entice him with her words. Remember Satan's discussion with Eve in Genesis chapter 3. Finally, she laid hands on him. As in the temptation of our Lord, Satan does not give up easily. If one advance is turned aside, he takes another approach. Matthew 4 verses 1 through 11. The temptation for that which cannot be lawfully had, another man's wife, has been the downfall of many, but not for Joseph. When temptation first raised its ugly head, Joseph said no. He refused in clear language. He did not quibble, hesitate, or hee-haw around. Jesus said, "But let your yes be yes, and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one." Matthew 5, verse 37. The first step in facing temptation is to have the knowledge of what is right, loyalty to do what is right, and the ability to say no. Later in our study of the Old Testament, we will come across a man who lacked this ability, Balaam. When the enemies of God offered him more money to curse God's people, he said, "I'll see what God has to say about it." Instead of saying no, he was playing with temptation. Joseph said no, and when temptation persisted, he ran in the opposite direction. And then again, Joseph understood that all sin is against God. Confessing the sin of adultery and murder, David said, "Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight." Psalm 51, verse 4. David had sinned against Bathsheba, Uriah, and against his own conscience. Yet nothing was more grievous to him than sinning against God. David felt that his sin was committed in all its filthiness while Jehovah himself looked on. Although no one was in the house, Joseph knew that God himself was watching closely what was taking place. Here's a question. Does God see what we are doing? Today, if a husband wants to cheat on his wife, all he has to do is go out of town, right? Well, here's the problem. God is out of town, too. Do we not understand that every sin we commit is first and foremost against God? Do we not understand that there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account? Hebrews 4, verse 13. The very reason Joseph gives for not yielding to sin, offending God, the majority of people today will not consider as they enter into sin. Genesis 39, verse 21 is an important verse. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. His brothers may have mistreated him and forsaken him, but God did not. He was a faithful servant to Potiphar and his wife, yet she turned against him. But God did not. Potiphar believed the lie and put him in prison. But God did not forsake Joseph. This is a lesson that every faithful Christian needs to learn. In spite of all the difficulties that we face, as long as we are faithful to God through obedience to His Word, He will never leave us or forsake us. Joseph is now in prison. Eventually, the keeper placed all under Joseph's authority, just as Potiphar had. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. Pharaoh became angry with his chief butler and baker. There is nothing unusual about someone like Potiphar's wife lying about righteous people. There is nothing unusual about a king demoting some of his servants and placing them in prison. These are common and ordinary events that took place during that time. The lesson here is this: God's providence does not interfere with man's free moral agency. And at the same time, man's free moral agency in choosing to do that which is wrong cannot defeat God's purpose. The captain of the guards naturally put the butler and baker in Joseph's charge. An opportunity is now given for the dreamer to deal with the dreams of others. His reliance on Jehovah will set him apart from those who would have been recognized as professional interpreters in Egypt. Daniel 2, verses 2 through 13. Genesis 40, verse 6 says, "And Joseph came into them in the morning and looked at them and saw that they were sad." Having been demoted and placed in prison, one would expect them to be sad. The fact that Joseph noticed this indicates his tender heart and attention to detail. He asked them, "What was the problem?" "We each had a dream, and there is no interpreter of it." The Egyptians placed great emphasis on dreams. Now, remember, it was telling his brother and father his dreams that got Joseph in trouble. You would think that when someone mentioned dreams, he would close his ears. Not Joseph. He understood that the hand of God was in the matter. He understood that these dreams were related to God's promise and God's purpose. Joseph is careful to explain that he cannot interpret their dreams. Only God can. Have you ever talked to someone who overused the words, I, me, and my? The Pharisee who stood and prayed thus with himself was condemned for exalting himself. Luke 18, verses 11 through 14. The rich man's soul was required because he boasted about what he had done. Luke 12, verses 16 through 21. Jesus said, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Mark 5, verse 16. Joseph wanted all the glory to go to God. The butler dreamed of squeezing three clusters of grapes into Pharaoh's cup and placed it into his hand. Joseph said the dream meant Pharaoh would restore the butler to his place of service in 3 days. The baker did not get such good news, though he was encouraged by the interpretation of the butler's dream. Three baskets full of baked goods being eaten by the birds meant he would die, and the birds would eat his body. Of course, both dreams came to pass, just as Joseph, with God's help, had said they would. Notice, Joseph was faithful in the interpretation. He could have said to the baker, "I'd rather not talk about your dream." He did not add to or take away from God's word. There were not two or three different ways of interpreting God's message to the butler and baker. Joseph was faithful in the interpretation and spoke the truth in love. Jesus came into the world with a message from his Father. Look at John chapter 12, verses 44 through 50. John chapter 12, verses 44 through 50. Then Jesus cried out and said, "He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." Jesus did not add to or take away from God's word. There were not two or three different ways to interpret his Father's message to men. Jesus was faithful in the interpretation and spoke the truth in love. Today, there are over 30,000 different religious beliefs in the world, all claiming to lead to heaven or some form of it. We celebrate diversity and argue with God when he says, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 6. How many different interpretations of the Bible are correct? 2, 5, 30,000? How many roads lead to heaven? 2, 5, 30,000. A careful study of the Old and New Testament reveals the answer to these questions is one. We also see the human element in this story. Look at Genesis chapter 40, verses 13 through 15. Genesis chapter 40, verses 13 through 15. Now within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your place. And you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former manner when you were his butler. But remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and also I have done nothing here that they should put me in to this dungeon. As far as Scripture is concerned, this is the first time that Joseph said anything about his circumstances. Joseph was hopeful that a word from the butler to Pharaoh might get him out of prison. Now another human trait enters the picture: forgetfulness. Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Joseph stayed in prison another 2 years. There are some things connected with Joseph's faith that we need to think about. First, we see two elements of his faith: work and trust. Franklin Camp said, "Joseph did what he could, where he was, the best he could, because he trusted God." This is the way that we ought to serve God. Whatever our position in life, we ought to do what we can for the glory of God, the best we can, in a Christ-like manner, because of our faith in God. Second, in Joseph we see the patience of faith. For 2 years the butler forgot Joseph. He had been sold and abandoned by his family, and then imprisoned by a woman's lie after doing the right thing. Hope for an early release faded after days, weeks, months, and even years of forgetfulness. Had we been in that prison, discouragement might have reigned supreme. In all of this, we do not read that Joseph complained and murmured. He trusted God with all of his heart and leaned not on his own understanding. This is the type of attitude that we need to try and develop. And then again, Joseph's faith accepted disappointments. All of us have our disappointments in life, but the child of God can accept them, knowing that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Romans 8, verse 18. The faithful child of God is assured that the disappointments of life will not always be victorious, but there will come a better day, a brighter day. If not in this life, certainly in the next, where there will be no tears in heaven. Here's another lesson that we need to learn. Good intentions and promises are not worth anything until they are carried out. Think about the forgetfulness of the butler. He had no malice towards Joseph. He was not trying to harm him or plan to forget him. You would think that the butler would never forget about the man who helped him get out of prison, but he did. You would think that those of us who have lived in sin and then learned the truth of the gospel would always remember what it was like to live in sin. But many forget and return to the filth they were forgiven of. Out of the many things that we have done this week, is there something that we have forgotten? Is there something we have promised God we would do but have not gotten around to it? Lord, if you get me out of this mess, I'll clean up my life and serve you. Lord, I'm going to start studying my Bible and start going to church. Lord, I'm going to turn from sin and become a Christian. Could our delay be because we have believed the enemy of the soul who says, there's always tomorrow? David said in 1 Samuel 20 verse 3, there is but a step between me and death. I tremble to think of those who read passages like, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned, and say, I know that's what Jesus said, but I'm not going to do it. I'll show God I can make it to heaven another way. Listen, none of us are guaranteed tomorrow or the next 5 minutes. God help us to fulfill our vows quickly before our soul is required. Thank you for taking time to study God's Word with us.